Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Before we start the show, I have to tell you about an exciting opportunity for solo travelers. If you love the idea of this RV life but not sure about going it alone, now you don't have to. Embark on your solo adventures with confidence and camaraderie. Join the Wandering Individuals Network RV Club today for the ultimate journey tailored to the independent traveler. Visit WindsRVClub.com to learn more, and be sure to check out Episode 6, where Janelle, the owner of Winds RV Club and a solo traveler herself, shares her story and all about this fantastic club. You won't want to miss it. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Roam in Your Home podcast, the show where we dive into the world of RV living with tips, stories, and insights from those who live it every day. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Have you ever wondered what you would do if you had to go through a major health crisis while you're full-time RVing? What if you were diagnosed with breast cancer while you were traveling? What would you do? Would it make you stop RVing and cancel your plans? Well, my guest today had this happen to her, and spoiler alert, she didn't stop RVing or cancel her plans. Jennifer was already an author writing romance books when she got the diagnosis that everyone fears the most. I was on the edge of my seat while she told her story. You won't believe all that she went through and how she handled it. Today's episode is part one and all about her breast cancer journey while full-time RVing. Be sure to come back next week for part two, where we get into all about her RV life. I was so inspired by Jennifer, and I know you will be too. So I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Jennifer Scannell. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. You have so much to share, and I was doing some research, and I'm really excited to learn more about you and hear your story. You are a full-time RVer, a travel blogger, you're an author, but most importantly, you are a breast cancer survivor. And I'm so thankful to say that and thankful that you're here to tell us everything and give us some inspiration.
Sure. I would be more than happy to. Yeah. We've been RVing for 5 years. We started just doing the part-time thing and decided in 2019, we wanted to go full-time because we had seen friends who were just kind of waiting until the right time to do whatever it is they wanted to do. And then something would happen, life events, and that time would never come. And so my husband and I, our kids were grown and moved out. And we said, why are we still in the house? And so we started with smaller RVs and in a year moved up 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah. To what we now have is a 41-foot Solitude fifth wheel Grand Design and a F-350 dually.
Nice.
And part of the whole don't wait thing was in 2019, we were like, okay, we're going to go full time. We went back from Florida where we'd done part time to Northern Virginia and started downsizing. And my husband says, you know, I think we should wait until next year to get our new rig after we sell the house. And I said, you know, something's just telling me don't wait. And he always knows after 30 some years when I say something just telling me to listen.
Right.
And so then we got everything in 19 and did the downsizing, went to Florida, had lined up everything so we could do our escapees whole thing where we have our domicile in Florida and the mail service and everything. And we had just finished setting all of that up in the spring of 2020 when COVID hit.
Wow.
And we wouldn't have been able to get a rig or a truck if we'd have waited. And we were in Florida when COVID hit. So we were stuck down there for a couple of months. And I called a realtor up in Northern Virginia and said, you know, what are the odds of us actually selling our home? Because we lived outside of DC. And she said, the market is crazy. Get up here. We'll sell your house. So we did. And we went full time, officially moved out and everything July 29th of 2020.
Wow.
But one thing that we needed to make sure we had, and this is very important for RVers, is a medical home base. So we decided, because our daughter and son-in-law and our grandkids lived in Hilliard, Ohio, right near Columbus, we said, okay, that'll be our medical home base. So we went and set up all of our doctors there, dentists, the whole thing. And every 6 months, we would go back and spend a couple months in the spring to do physicals and all of that.
That's so smart.
And then in the fall, yeah, we would do like the follow-ups if we needed, or like a 6-month deal in the fall. And then we could also spoil our grandkids for a couple months too. So that was always fun.
Yes. Oh.
So that's like a hugely important thing is that even if you're part-time, you have to have a medical home base because as you're traveling around, you can't have doctors all over the country.
That's so true.
You at least have to have some in a certain spot. And also, if you get like appointments for screenings, colonoscopies, those kind of things, this is what my one doctor told me was make sure people take a disk, not just a thumb drive, but an actual CD of those records and pictures and everything so that they could take them to, if they do have to go to another doctor somewhere else in the country, they'll have all of those records. Even though you have MyChart and all that kind of stuff, you need to have the actual pictures to compare. So I made sure when we left Northern Virginia, I had all of my mammograms on a CD.
Wow, that's really good. Thank you so much for sharing that because my husband and I are in the healthcare field and we did not even know that. So that's very good to know.
Yeah, he said we can't, doctors, at least at Ohio Health, are not allowed to put a thumb drive in their computers,
That makes sense.
but they can do a CD. Yeah, absolutely makes sense. So that's what we did. Originally, I was a quilter. That's why my website, one of them is The Rambling Quilter, and one of my Instagrams is The Rambling Quilter, because before we started traveling, I was, just messing around with a travel blog or just a regular blog of quilting and doing quilting. So I sold it. We sold all of that stuff when we went full time.
Wow.
Said, well, I'll focus on writing because I'd started writing romance novels in 2016.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And so I was on like my fourth book, maybe when we finally started going full time.
Wow.
So I write on the road. And so that's what we did. And so, things were going along smoothly for like 3 years. We would go and do all of our checkups and everything was good. And then in 2022, in the fall, I did my fall mammogram because I had to, those always had to be in September. It was just the way it lined up. And we left because I figured it would be normal. And we were on our way to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And I got a call from the radiology place that they wanted to do a follow-up. And I said, we're gone. We've already left the state.
Oh my gosh.
So they said, well, let's see if we can get you somewhere. We need you to do our mammogram and an ultrasound. And I said, okay, let me. When we get to our next location, I'll get on the phone and see what I can find. And as it turned out, the closest place or that I could find that could do both, I could get people to do a mammogram, but they didn't all have the sonogram facilities,
Okay.
was actually where we used to live. So we ended up back because we were going there anyway to see our son and daughter-in-law. So I went back to the one that I used to go to years ago, and they did the mammogram. And then they told me, they said, you know what? We don't see anything. You don't need an ultrasound.
Wow.
And I said, are you sure? And they said, no, it's whatever it was, it's gone. But in the back of my mind, that just kept like, you didn't do the ultrasound. They wanted you to do both. You didn't do both. I don't trust that. But I said, okay. So, my husband and I just continued on with our trip south to Florida for the winter. And, but, in the back of my mind, I always just kept thinking, they didn't do everything. And that kind of bothered me. So, we started planning. We planned this epic trip of 2023 where we were going to like go back to Ohio, do stuff we needed to do. Then we were going to go to the beach with our kids. And then we were going to head out west and we're going to do like all of the upper states, South Dakota, all the fun states up there and hit Glacier on Labor Day.
Wow.
We had this all booked. And then we were going to go down through and do the Utah and all of this. And then we booked our bucket list Tournament of Roses parade escapees thing at the end of 23. We just kept going on with our spring and everything was gelling really well. I was feeling good. We were doing really good. And, but I just kept thinking, they didn't do that ultrasound.
Wow, you kept
So
thinking about that.
I just kept thinking about that. And then we were in Martinsville, Virginia. We had friends that had tickets, were NASCAR fans, and we were at the Martinsville race. And I mean, I grew up with NASCAR and we actually backed up to the track. I looked out our back window and I could see the track,
Oh, cool.
And I'm just standing there and I'm like, this is just too good to be true.
Wow.
I literally thought that.
That's awesome.
So we got back to Ohio. Well, before we got back to Ohio in January, because I was so worried about the fact they didn't do the ultrasound.
Right.
And so I called my insurance and I said, do I have to wait until September because we're going to be in Glacier and there's, can't do it there. Or I would have to wait until we get somewhere else. And I said, or can I get it earlier? And she looked it up and she said, your calendar year, you can do it whenever you want, wherever you want.
Oh, wow, nice.
I said, all right. So I, booked it through Ohio Health and had my physical, went across the hall, had the mammogram, thinking everything's great in May. And that was May 11th. May 12th, I got the My Chart saying, we need to do a follow-up.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, okay. And the doctor said, and call this number to schedule your appointments. So I thought it was calling like, you know, Ohio Health Radiology,
right?
Central scheduling. And it was Dublin Cancer Center.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, all right, here it goes. You know, I'm like, this will be it. So I called them and said, they said, yeah, we need to do a follow-up mammogram and we're going to do an ultrasound. And I said, good. Cause they didn't do it last time.
Right.
So they scheduled me for the 15th. That was Friday. I was in there on Monday morning.
Oh my goodness.
The day after Mother's Day. So I did the mammogram and they said, yep, we're going to do the ultrasound. They did the ultrasound and I went in and talked to the nurse navigator. And she said, okay, we want you to come back this afternoon. You're going to meet with Dr. Mark Kreit. We all love him. He's one of the best breast surgeons that we have. And she said, then they're going to do a biopsy. She said, you're going to find out the results on my chart before Dr. Kreip will call you. It's up to you whether you want to look or not.
Oh, wow.
Because we have no control over that. And she said, don't Google anything. I said, okay.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So that's what I did.
What was your mental health at this point? Were you calm? Were you freaking out? What were your thoughts?
You know, I was pretty calm. And I think it's because I kind of knew, you know, even when I looked at the sonogram, I'm like, that doesn't look right. There's something there, you know.
What did you see that doesn't look right?
Well, if you look at a sonogram and that you start seeing little things on there that shouldn't be there, you know what I mean? I don't know. And she kept like looking at one certain spot.
Okay.
You know, when they start focusing on one certain spot, then you're like, okay, they're looking at something really big.
Was it more white or more black?
That I don't remember. I just remember seeing lots of colors when she was doing the colors part.
Okay, just curious.
There was blood flow to it.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of thing. At that point, I thought, okay, I think this is going to be bigger than what I thought it was going to be. And I didn't want to jump ahead too much. You know, she said, make sure you come back with somebody with you. So I called our daughter on my way home and I said, you know, can you meet us there? Because dad's not going to be able to take notes. And I want somebody that can take notes.
Right.
Because one of my surgeons, I had two, and one of them said, she said, you know, you only retain about 15% of what we tell you in that first appointment. So it's so good to have somebody to go with you. And then they did the biopsy. And then, so we met with Dr. Kreip and he was wonderful. I highly recommend him. He's been doing this for 20 something years. I can't say enough good things about him. He actually wrote the foreword for my book. He's more like a friend now than really just my breast surgeon. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So yeah, so we, you know, when we went back with him and he says, yeah, he says, it looks like it could be malignant. He said, we won't know till we do the biopsy. But he said, even if it's not, we're going to want to take it out because it shouldn't be in there. And I said, okay. So we were kind of like still kind of up in the air as to what, you know, was going to happen and everything. But then 2 days later when he called, when I knew it was definitely a tumor and it was malignant, then we had a lot of things we had to decide. You know, that was where the hard part came in.
Did you find out from my chart or did you wait to open it?
I did find out from my chart.
Okay.
I did look.
Okay.
But I was glad I did because then by the time he called me, I was ready to answer his questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had questions for him and I knew what I wanted.
Right. That's smart.
Yeah. Because I had then talked to a cousin who's a nurse whose sister had breast cancer years ago. And I was like, okay, Debbie, talk to me. Tell me what do I want to do? And, you know, what's the best thing? And so we talked through everything to decide what type of surgery I wanted. And so when he called me and he told me it was definitely malignant and he said, do you know what you want to do? And I said, yeah, I want to have a bilateral mastectomy. And he said, I agree with that. He knew within 5 minutes of meeting us what our story was. Because he saw on my chart that, okay, they have Florida address, Texas mailing address, but they're in Ohio for medical. So what's the story?
Right.
He's a doctor who asks, okay, what's your story?
That's so good.
So that he can help you figure everything out. And so he knew, okay, she wants to travel. That's the most important thing to me was mm-hmm. getting back on the road. And that's what I told him.
Right.
So he agreed with. Yeah, it was probably a radical thing because I only had one small tumor and we took everything. But then, you know, he says, then you don't have to worry about mammograms anymore.
Right.
And then he says, if you want, we can talk about reconstruction when you come in on Monday, because I had to go in for a consult. And I said, no, I don't want that either. And he laughed. And he says, I agree with you on that too, because you're going to be traveling around the country and I don't need, you have to deal with it. You know, if there's a complication and it's more surgeries and, you know, it's just, it's more involved.
Right.
So yeah, so that's what we decided to do. And then he said, so what are your goals? And I said, I'm going to the beach with my kids in July because we're getting a family beach picture. And I'm going to the Tournament of Roses Parade at the end of the year. And he later, he says, and you didn't say, I want to. You said, I'm going.
Wow.
He said, that's important for you to tell the surgeon, this is what I'm going to do. You figure out what we need to do to get us there.
I love that.
Yeah. And that's what we did. And so I had surgery after we came back from the beach, 2 days later.
So what month was that?
July 25th. So I'm coming up on 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we were on the road October 23rd and made it to the Rose Bowl Parade.
Oh my gosh. You did it.
Yeah.
Wow. You did what you set out to do. Mm-hmm. And how were you feeling at that point?
I was tired, but I was happy that I was there, you know, and still, because I'm on medicine. I didn't have to have chemo. I didn't have to have radiation. So all I had to have was surgery, and I'm on medicine now because my tumor was hormone fed. So I'm on medicine now that will basically keep me in menopause for another 5 years, which my husband, Dr. Kripe, told him, good luck, in 400 square feet.
Oh, goodness.
And so he was laughing. He knew RVs. But
right.
Then it actually kills all of the hormones so that it will kill any cancer cells that might be floating around somewhere else in my body.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it could show up four other places down the road if you don't do this. So.
Okay. Do you need to have like PET scans done or?
No, I asked him about that. When I went for my 3 month, I'm like, am I supposed to have any scans? And he said, no, the way we do it is it's up to you to tell us. If I have the worst headache I've ever had and blurred vision, then it could have gone to my brain.
Oh my goodness.
If I start coughing a lot and I didn't have a cold, it could have gone to my lungs. If I have bone pain and I didn't hurt myself, then it could be in the bone. Or if I all of a sudden have jaundice, it could be in the liver.
Oh my goodness.
But he said, I don't want you to worry about that for 18 years.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
So I said, okay. So yeah, so I'm on this medicine for another 4 at least. And then we'll see how we're doing after that. But it's basically, I've lucked out on the side effect part of it. I have some joint pain.
Sure.
I get fatigue. So I have to give myself breaks, you know, every 4 or 5 days, we just kind of chill, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's so good. Other than that, you're feeling pretty good?
Feeling pretty good. Yeah. Very fortunate.
Is there side effects of your medication that you're on? Is that the fatigue or is it just the recovery?
The fatigue, the joint pain, dryness in the eyes. So I put Pataday in my eyes every morning when I get up. Minor. It's nothing that's, you know, terrible for me. Some women it affects differently.
Okay.
One thing I did find out, and this would be a really good thing for the listeners to know as well as RVers, when you're taking like a cancer drug, it didn't matter with blood pressure medicine, that didn't matter. But a cancer drug, you have to have the same manufacturer all the way through.
Oh.
Because they're a little bit different and they can affect you a little differently. So the one that I started out with this specific manufacturer, I'm like, okay, I can tolerate this really well. So as we were traveling around the country and I would have to get a refill, I had to call pharmacies to find out which one had that manufacturer.
Wow.
It was not an easy thing to do. So that's what I would do when we were, you know, moving around the country. And so then when my husband, he retired at the end of 23, we went with it. We are now on a health share plan. So we're basically self-pay most of the time. It does really good things, but a lot of like pharmacy stuff, we're self-pay. So, or we could do a mail order. But you can go through like GoodRx or CVS has their own version of GoodRx, I found. And what I found was because you're not going through insurance, if your doctor will write your prescription for 365 pills and no refills, you can get a whole year at one time.
Oh, good to know.
Which is very good to know.
Yes.
So I'm on 3 different medications and I got all 3 of them for the whole year.
Oh, that's so nice being a full-time RVer. You don't have to worry about calling different pharmacies and worrying about the manufacturer. You got it.
I got it. And I got it for all 3. Because one of the side effects of this medication also is it raised my cholesterol and triglycerides. So now I'm on Lipitor. And it weight gain, you know, it's those are the kind of things that the hormonal stuff will have an issue. So trying to lose weight and that kind of stuff is always a challenge as an RVer to begin with. But then when you throw this on top of it, it makes it a little bit harder even. So those are the kind of things that I'm dealing with. But the way I look at it, I've always looked at this as, and the whole way the book came about was I needed a why for why I got cancer. I never felt sorry for myself,
right?
But I needed a positive to come out of this. And 2 weeks after my surgery at 3:30 in the morning, because at that point I was still sleeping in a recliner, because that's how, as a breast cancer patient, right after surgery, you have to sleep like elevated, like 30% your head and your shoulders and your chest. So things can drain.
Okay.
I woke up at 3:30 in the morning with this book in my head.
Wow.
And I turned on the light. I had like a little table next to me that we'd set up, and I pulled out my steno notepad, which is how I do a lot of my writing anyway. And I sat there and I wrote the intro for this book right then. And my husband came out at like 5:30 in the morning. He's like, "Are you up?" I'm like, "I've been up since 3:30 writing this." So,
wow.
Yeah. So that was like, okay, that's my why, is to write this book. And I wrote it. I had to see Dr. Kripe that morning for my checkup for my 2 week. And I said, "I'm writing this book." And he said, "You need to write this book in the patient's perspective, because we don't have enough of those." And I started it from 5 years ago when we first started RVing, because I felt like you needed to kind of have an intro as to how we ended up in this situation to begin with.
Right.
Recovering in 400 square feet. And so I kind of tell that whole don't wait story. And, you know, then my motto came into me in the middle of the night, where it is, don't wait to enhance, change, or save your life.
Wow.
And so I've now based a whole talk that I do at RV rallies. I've done them at Grand Design RV rallies, and I've got some more scheduled, where I talk about, get out there and do whatever it is you want to do. Make sure you get your medical stuff taken care of, and don't wait to change or enhance, change, or save your life, because you just never know.
That is so true. And you're definitely a testament to that. And how long was it that you were stationary while you were recovering? Like you were saying, like, so July 25th was your surgery. And then you said you were at the Rose Parade, right, in October.
Yeah, well, we got there at the end of the year, but we actually, that was the other challenge as an RVer, when you're diagnosed with something like this and you're in an RV park, but you have a set end date, right?
Right.
Because you made your reservations. So our end date was July 5th at the park we were at.
Wow.
Near Columbus. And so then we had to find a place to stay for an open-ended time, because we didn't know whether I was going to need chemo and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So then we ended up, we had to leave the park we were at, because it's a small city park. We love it, but they only have 3 full hookup sites.
Oh, wow.
And I was not going to do a water and electric. And the guy was like, "We could move you around." I'm like, "I am not moving around when I'm trying to recover."
Yes.
So another small park that we had stayed at there before, that's another family-run park. And I called her, and the lady's name is Joy. It's Alton RV Park in Galloway, Ohio. It's only like 30 sites. And I called Joy and I said, "You know, this is what's going on." She says, "I got you covered." She said, "I'll move people if I have to."
Aww.
And she said, "You can stay here as long as you need to." And so she was very sweet.
Oh my gosh, that's such a blessing. Was that very far from where your doctor was and all that?
No, it was all like 20 minutes away. So.
Oh, wow.
So it's all right in that area, both places. It's just a blessing, for real. And, you know, and she even let us, because I said, "You know, we're going to rent the house with the kids at the beach. We're not taking the rig with us." She's like, "You can leave your rig and your truck. Go get a rental car." And so that's what we did, to go to the beach even. She said, "You can leave it all here and it'll be fine."
Oh.
Yeah. So then we were there from July 9th. We moved in there July 9th until we left October 23rd.
Wow. That is so great.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to spend more time with our daughter and son-in-law, our grandkids, our 2 little grandsons. So I look at the blessings, you know.
Oh, totally. And that is so good. You know, that family time is so important for your mental and emotional health too, for healing. And
yeah,
I'm sure that definitely helped in the healing process, for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. And then you just continued writing your book at that point. Mm-hmm. While you were going through your recovery, were you writing?
Yes.
Like often?
Yes, because I had so much time on my hands, because I was just sitting and I would write. I had it all out. You know, usually my writing process, I write an outline, and none of my fiction books ever end up with what the original outline was. They all kind of go off on their own.
Yeah.
But this one actually stayed on the outline, and it was easier to write because I didn't have to make stuff up. It was happening.
Right.
Some of it was actually, as it was happening, I was writing.
Wow.
About the recovery process. So I started, you know, like I said, 2 weeks after surgery is when I started the book, and I, you know, had to do the whole pre part. The first part is before I call it my pothole in my RV travel road. That's what I call the tumor. So the first part is before that. And then the second part is once I was diagnosed. And then that goes through the whole process. Probably like 2 months after surgery, I kind of stopped it there because at that point, everything was just kind of pretty much done and over with as far as what I could tell people. But I go through the physical therapy, talking to nurse navigators about, you know, things I'm feeling. And, you know, I lay it out there as far as I now have an incision or a scar literally from one armpit to the other across my chest.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of like nerve issues and there's just different things that, you know, normal people don't feel.
And you don't think about.
And you don't think about until you're literally, you have body parts amputated is what a mastectomy is. And I didn't even really know what that was. So what my diagnosis was invasive ductal carcinoma with HR positive, HER2 negative breast cancer. And when I used to hear that on TV, like on commercials for drugs, and they'd say HR positive, HER2 negative, I'm like, I don't know what that means. And I'm glad I don't. Well, now I do. And then I had a bilateral mastectomy with aesthetic flat closure is what they call it. So basically my chest area is just flat.
Wow.
And I have prosthetics. I have yet to wear them. I feel like a lot of people wear them, you know, every day. I haven't worn them. I haven't felt the need. I have a dress if I need to wear them, you know, but I never go anywhere fancy to wear a dress.
Right.
It's really not that bad.
Wow. You have such a great attitude. And I think from the very beginning, like even before, you know, prior to your diagnosis, you had such a great attitude. You know, I don't know if you've always been like that or if that was God just kind of preparing you for what was coming. And I don't know, it just kind of gave you like a,
yeah,
you know, I don't know if you would say peace, but it's almost like you knew, you know, what was probably going to be happening. And
yeah,
you almost seemed prepared for it. And you handled it so beautifully. Wow.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You know, and I think, so in 2016, this is when my don't wait stuff really, really started. I was at my parents, my mom and my stepdad in Ohio visiting them. My husband Mike was down visiting his parents in Worcester. And I had gotten an email saying that I had like a free bagel or Panera or something. So I'm like, Mom, I think I'm going to go to Panera and get this bagel. And do you want anything? And she gave me her order. And I was just starting to write the first book. One Sweet Development was my first one. And I was just starting to do the concept of it and everything. And I walked in and my aunt and uncle were there, who I hadn't seen for a while. And I wasn't planning to see that trip. And they said, oh, come and have breakfast with us. So I sat down and my aunt used to work for Avon Books in New York. She's an English major. She says, you know, I'll help you with however I can with your book or whatever.
Aww.
And I have 20 cousins spread out around the country. And she said that she was the youngest of 6 kids. And she says, you know, my job when your parents are gone is to keep all of you cousins together.
Aww.
And she gave me this biggest bear hug. I will never forget it. And 2 weeks later, I got a call from my mom, and I thought it was about my stepdad because he had Alzheimer's. And she said, it's not Bill, it's your Aunt Jetta. And she had died in a car accident that day.
Oh, my gosh.
And so when I went to the funeral, 20 of the 21 cousins were there.
Wow.
And I said, you know, she wanted to bring us all together, but I don't think this is what she meant.
Aw, wow.
That was like the first don't wait moment I had. And then I'm like, you know what? This is it. You can't wait. And I started writing. And there were times when I was writing the fiction, my Hope Springs romance series, where I'd be stuck, you know? And then I just like sit there and I say, okay, Aunt Jetta, I'm stuck here. I don't know what to write. And then all of a sudden I just start writing, like typing. And the next day I'd go back and read. I couldn't even remember what I wrote.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. So she's with me a lot. So as I was writing Don't Wait, I mean, I would write in coffee shops. I would write, you know, Mike would go on a bike ride. So I'd go to a coffee shop because I wasn't allowed to ride yet. And I'd sit there and write. And it just flowed pretty easy. I was really surprised. And I edit all my own books and I didn't really have to do a whole lot with it. And then when I went for my 3 month with Dr. Kripe and I asked him, I said, I got my book finished. He's like, already? And I said, I've had a lot of time on my hands in the past 2 months. And I asked him if he'd write the foreword and he said, I'd be honored. So.
Oh, I love that he did that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And when was that book published?
I published in January. So it is on Amazon. All of my books are on Amazon. I self-publish. I don't have a publisher, so I self-publish all of them. Yeah, I have seven out there.
That is so cool.
They're all on Kindle Unlimited.
Okay.
So I have a five book, Hope Springs Romance Series, a small town in Virginia. It was all based on a quilting shop called Rosie's Quilting Emporium, and the older women in the group give advice to the younger women in the group about love and romance and life. And as they're sitting around, it's contemporary, modern day, but they're sitting around hand quilting quilts for charity.
Aww.
So Rosie is the matriarch of the group, and she's based off of my daughter-in-law's grandmother.
Oh, wow.
And Myrtle is like the ornery little old lady in the group, and she's based off of my grandma Myrtle. So everybody else is made up because people are like, is that based off? No, I didn't. Nobody else. There's no other people. Just those two. Aww. But that was a very fun series to write, and it's out on Amazon. And now then I switched over because I was like, I can't come up with another really good concept for a romance series right now. So I switched over to do 55 and over RV park cozy mysteries. And my first one was Death by Golf Cart.
Wow.
And so that is also out there. And I just finished, and I'm editing now, the second one. It's Death on the Pickleball Court.
I just saw that title. That is such a good one because yeah. Pickleball is so popular right now.
I know. So, yeah. And I had started writing that one last year. I was like partway through it when I ended up getting cancer. And so I kind of put that one away, and when I had to get Don't Wait done. And so now I finished that one. So, yeah. So that one will be out by the end of the year.
And what is the full title of Don't Wait?
It's Don't Wait, Our Full-Time RV Journey Through Breast Cancer.
That is so good. That is such an important book. I'm really excited to get it and read it because even being in healthcare, I find myself telling my patients, like, do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's so hard. It just seems like, you know, you probably heard that saying, like, the doctor's kids are always sick.
Right.
You know, that's so true. And I would never want my patients to wait for anything and any of their medical exams. And, you know, I put myself on the back burner a lot, and I definitely need to read the book and
Yeah,
get some of your advice. So that's so good. Yeah. I'm so glad you wrote that and really excited to share that. I will have all the links to everything that you're doing and that we discussed today in our show notes. And also you'll have a page on our website with the links and everything too.
You being in healthcare, I had two surgeons. I had one do my, Dr. Cripe was my main surgeon. He did the cancer side. And then he works alongside Dr. Deepa Halaharvi, who is another breast cancer surgeon. And she did the right side. So they actually do it together. So I was only under for less than 2 hours. They do a lot of their surgeries together, so their patients aren't under for so long.
That is amazing. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, they started doing that. They've done over 1,000 surgeries together between the two of them in 9 years.
Wow.
So when they read my book, they said, you know, what was good about my book was that I kept going after the 2 week time when he saw me, because then he didn't see me again until the 3 months. Like 3 months later, he said, so what it was so good for the doctor to see was this is what the patient goes through after that.
Oh, so true.
You know, the whole recovery process that they don't really know because Ohio Health has nurse navigators that we can call.
Okay.
Stephanie was mine. She was wonderful. But he said, we don't see all of that. So that was a really good thing for us. And, you know, the doctor-patient relationship is so important when you're going through something like this. He made it so much easier for us as a family because he asked the right questions to us. Like, what is your goal? What is it that you want to get out of this? What is important to you? That kind of thing. So doctors need to do that too. Not just the patients ask questions, but the doctors have to ask these questions as well. And that's something that I'm very passionate about. I've written a blog post about. And so, yeah, that's my little soapbox on that.
That is so good to know. It's things that, like the saying, you don't know what you don't know. And mm-hmm. we don't know this until, you know, you go through it, and you didn't know this either. And, you know, a lot of times we'll uncover or discover something that we go through, but we don't take the time to share it to help somebody else that's going to go through it later. And so it's so important to definitely make this process easier for someone else. And your book is definitely that. So it seems like we always will find somebody in our life that's, you know, maybe just diagnosed or, you know, going mm-hmm. through the beginning of this process, and they don't know how to navigate it. And this book would be, you know, such a perfect gift for that person to, you know, you know, kind of ease their mind of what to expect.
Right.
And, you know, it's so good. I can think of several people that, you know, I want to give the book to as well, and including, you know, myself to read it, and something that needs to be definitely read by a lot of people before they need it. It's just nice to be able to have this information.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's so good. So good. Yeah. And so what are you working on now? Are you working on something else now?
So I'm working on, well, Death on the Pickleball Court. I'm editing that.
Oh, okay. You're working on that now. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm also doing a blog series on jenniferscannell.com about the whole breast cancer process. And I just published last week, it was a letter from the patient to the surgeon, just explaining how terrified we are, how terrified our family is, you know, what we're feeling as we're getting ready to meet you for the first time. And you're going to tell me this thing that's going to change my life forever. And just trying to impress upon the surgeons the importance of care, compassion, empathy, because I've seen it time and again in the last year. I'm on two forums, and I've seen it. That's it. I don't do like all these other ones.
Right.
And how many people are like, my surgeon wouldn't listen to me. And my, you know, and I'm just like, I get so frustrated when I read those, because I was so fortunate with my surgeons. So that's that blog post. Then the one that's coming out next week I'm working on is actually the things that family and friends say to a breast cancer patient that they think are very well-meaning, but not necessarily are.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so don't say this, but do say this, and offer to do this, and offer these kind of things, because
that is so,
a lot of times people don't know what they're saying is not well-meaning, and they ask questions that are just not helpful and say things that are not helpful. And so I wanted to get that out there as well.
Oh, wow. That's really important. And I hope I didn't say anything.
No, not at all. You know, no, you did not. You did not. But
that is so true. That is so good, because sometimes we don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a really good friend going through it, and it's like, we want to be there, but we don't even know what to say.
Right.
And I love that you did that. I love that you did the patient, you know, to the doctor letter. That's mm-hmm. so good, because my husband and I are traveling physical therapist assistants.
Okay.
And so there's so many times, you know, with all of our patient care, I've been doing this for 15, 16 years. And so with thousands of patients, we hear so many different stories. And yes, there's so many times where the doctor, it seems like, or even just the nurses or different just healthcare providers have been in this so long that they forget that there's, you mm-hmm. know, feelings behind the patient in front of them. And,
right.
you know, they forget to like explain things or, you know, really empathize. They're just so used to talking about things that they don't realize that this is a huge, you know, situation
right.
that you're going through. And
right.
this is terrifying news, and you probably have so many questions. And yeah, that right. whole thing, you know, I lost my best friend to cancer. It wasn't breast cancer, but it was lymphoma. Mm. And, you know, and that was so long ago. It was like 15 years ago. And at that point, well, actually it was, about 16, 17 years ago. And we weren't in healthcare at that time. And so I didn't even know anything. And,
mm-hmm.
but I realized going through with her, like I stayed in the hospital for 10 days with her while she was going through her initial treatments, and, you know, just going through it, like every Friday I would go and spend the day with her in the hospital. And while she was going through some treatments and recovery. And I realized like quickly, your whole day is changed by the interactions of your healthcare providers.
Right. Right.
Like whether it's the nurse that comes in or the CNA or the, you know, the physician assistant or whoever you're seeing,
mm-hmm.
that could set you up for a fantastic positive day or just a really negative, stressful day. And I see that in just my own career as well. And, you know, working in different environments, but it's so true. And I think that, you know, anybody in the healthcare field really needs to kind of, you know, have some time to think like, why are we doing this? Like, why did we get in this?
Right.
And how can we make it where every single patient feels seen and heard and special and important, and, you know, really try to empathize with every single one, and not just like, look at your caseload and you're overwhelmed and you're stressed
right.
and you're tired and maybe you have other things that are going on outside of work. And, but you really have to, you know, just kind of, you know, separate all that and just really see the person in front of you and realize that it's just them. Like they're, that's all they're going through right now is them. Like you don't, you know, that, that situation, you don't, you know, we might feel like, okay, I have, you know, 10 patients I need to see today. And I'm, you know, and it's just like all a jumbled, you know, thing on your schedule. But like for that one patient, that's everything for them.
Yeah.
And so that's so good that you're bringing that up. And I love that you also brought up, like, you know, when you travel, and that's something that we really don't have. And you're just bringing up so many things. We've been doing this for 7 years, but we have so many things to make better. And you're totally bringing up things that I need to put on my to-do list. Yeah. And, you know, having like the, how did you word it? The medical,
a medical home base.
Yes. The medical home base. Like that's so important. We don't do that. We try to even do it for our dog and we don't do it for ourselves. Like we try to do like the same vet in the same area every year. And we put ourselves on, you know, the back burner and, oh, we're not, you know, we won't get our teeth cleaned this year. And we'll, you know, or we won't get our mammogram because we're not in, you know, and I'm, you know, now that's the thing. It's like, I didn't get my mammogram last year. And that's like, that's ridiculous. I should not have done that, you know? And I'm like, oh, I'll just do it next year. And, you know, you can see what a difference a year makes.
Right. Because in September, they were like, no, there's nothing there, you know, October, whenever they did it. And 5 months later, there it was.
Exactly. And I hear that all the time.
So yeah, it is so important.
Wow. Well, thank you for inspiring me. And and I know that our listeners will get so much out of this conversation as well. And I'm so glad that you did not let this humongous life event, I mean, this very well have been the cause for you to say, you know what, let's just quit RVing. Let's just stay here. This is, you know, obviously like we'll just stay here to be close to the doctors and, you know, we'll buy a house or rent an apartment or whatever. And you use this as like your why. No, we're not going to wait. We're going to cross those things off our bucket list. And I love that it didn't make you lose any traction on your RV life. I love that. And you're making it work according to your schedule.
Right. Living life on my terms.
Yes. I love that. That's so, so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Do you have anything else you want to share about that? Or can I ask you some questions about RVing and your situation? And
oh, ask me some questions about RVing. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll have to come back next week to hear all about Jennifer's RV life. But oh my goodness, wasn't her journey through breast cancer while full-time RVing so inspiring? I'm excited to read her book, Don't Wait, and I encourage you all to get a copy for you and get one for a friend as well. You'll find all the links to her social media accounts and her websites in our show notes and on our website at romanyourhome.com/JenniferScannellAuthor. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for being here. It truly means so much to me. Be sure to come back next week for part two of this inspiring conversation with Jennifer. Until then, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with anyone who can use some inspiration. I look forward to being with you next week, and until then, stay safe, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.